Okay, so some final thoughts in regard to the entire book of The Power of Now. I think it's important to say that if someone did not read The Power of Now, then there's a bigger chance that they're being held hostage by an aspect of self as opposed to living from the entire self. And I'll explain what I mean. So who we are at the core, at the deepest level of self, is infinite awareness, or what in the book he calls consciousness. Now he starts speaking of consciousness in chapter two. His first chapter is obviously he says you are not your mind. That's very important because society today, and then just the way people are conditioned, people live in the mind. There's nothing wrong with living through the mind, or actually functioning through the mind, but living in the mind is a problem, because living already in the mind is already assuming, is already saying that we identify as our higher self or as a big aspect of self in the mind. Now that's an issue because the mind is a tool. The mind is not who you are. The tool, you got to separate the tool from the technician. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because if you don't learn how the mind functions, in which the book does a really good job to actually elaborate on this, then you are taken captive. You're a hostage of the mind, as opposed to you controlling, you functioning the mind, you channeling the mind. The mind has you. When I say you, I mean your overall awareness. The mind has your overall awareness as hostage. Now, the mind is not supposed to take your awareness hostage. Your emotions are not supposed to take your awareness hostage. Your awareness is supposed to be the driver. Everything else is supposed to be in the driver's seat, in the passenger seat. I'm sorry. Your awareness needs to tell the mind where to go. The mind is not supposed to tell the awareness where to go. That's a problem because the way he describes the mind as an ego-centric, an ego-driven tool. Now, I'm not going to get into why there's. Why is he in such a, so to speak, limited? He's on a campaign in the book to just belittle the mind. He belittles the mind in the book by constantly saying that it's the ego-driven self. There's nothing wrong with that, but there are other aspects. There's actually a few layers to the brain. There's a few different parts of the brain. There's the cerebrum, the cerebellum, the medulla, the prefrontal cortex. Each part of the brain actually has a unique function. Now, the ego brain is their cerebellum. That's where the mind is processing data and taking things apart from an analytical perspective. That's the part of the brain that's more judgmental. That's the part of the brain that's more limited. That's the part of the brain that's in charge of pattern recognition and procedure and sequence and structure. That's the part of the brain that labels and limits and describes everything. So it's a very materialistic aspect of the brain. Now, the more spiritual part of the brain is the cerebrum, or what we also know as the prefrontal cortex. That's a more spiritual part of the brain. That's the humble part of the brain. So there is a humble part of the brain. Now, I guess you would argue, you would say that the cerebrum or the prefrontal cortex is actually more a being or more present, or what we would say for our sake of the conversation, we would say soul, or like we said earlier, just the general awareness, the infinite awareness that we are. At the core of who we are. So that the biggest part of the mind, when we say mind, like the ego-driven mind, we're already saying that's the ego. We're talking about actually this the cerebellum. That's the part of the brain, the left brain, that's more process-driven, more data-driven, more factual-driven. It also it's the beginning of feelings, which is ego also. But because it's the brain within us that relates to existence from existence point of view, from a materialistic point of view. So it's the material brain, so to speak. It's not the spiritual brain. It's the material brain. It's not, it deals with like mathematics, numbers, everything that's in limitation. The part of the brain that deals with imagination, curiosity, creativity, and actually questions the deeper aspect of reality, the part of the brain that questions everything. And doesn't allow the other part of the mind to take anything for granted is the cerebrum. That's the prefrontal cortex. That's the spiritual part of the brain. That part of the brain is already going to tell you that if there's no, if it does not make sense, if you want to keep going, then you have to utilize faith. Then you have to just surrender. There's a part of the brain that tells you to surrender. The part of the brain that processes everything that's ego-driven, that's not going to tell you to surrender. That's going to tell you to resist. Now, he speaks a lot about resistance in the book as the beginning of the origin of pain. When you're resisting reality, you're not surrendering to it. That's the beginning of pain because you're fighting. You want to react to something and you disagree with it. If you disagree with it already, that's pain because there's a distance between what you disagree with and you. And once you disagree with something, you're creating a distance. You're creating a separation already. If you surrender with reality, then you're a part of it. You're at peace with it because you're saying that I'm one with it. I'm okay with it. I agree. I admit. I concede. I forgive, so to speak. He gets a lot into the illusion of time, which is something that's very important. I highly recommend the book for anyone, only because we need to know what aspects of self are tools for functionality to relate to the outside world, and then what is really us, which is just infinite awareness. But all in all, I truly think that everyone should read this book. Now, obviously, there's some parts of the book that they require further elaboration and the further explanation. But you need another book to explain how there's certain parts of the book that he could elaborate more on. But there's no surprise because we could talk about these things for more than two books. We can go on and on and on. But so the humble part of the brain is the cerebrum. And that part of the brain he's not talking about in the book. The ego brain that he's talking about in the book, that's the part of the brain that that just translates existence and creates the ego. That's a projection of the brain, a projection of the ego. Projection of the person himself, and then the way he sees the world is a reflection of that, of the projection that he's projecting onto the world. But this is by far one of the most powerful books that I've read in English that really do a solid job to really help a person identify how they should not identify with what they have identified till now, because we have to identify ourselves from the Creator's perspective, not from a human-made perspective. If we are identifying self as either from experience or from a place of pain or from the point of the ego, we can't identify ourselves as ego. We're not ego. Ego is a tool. An ego is a purposeful tool. That's also what he does not discuss and elaborate in the book enough. The ego is a very big tool for momentum. The ego is not meant to be destroyed. The ego is meant to be channeled. He doesn't say that in the book, but that's just a side point. But that's why I think that the book needs another book explaining that. But there's a lot of momentum in the ego. The problem is if we don't identify the ego and we don't identify the part of the brain that drives the ego, then we could fall subject to its subjugation, to its hostility, to its captivity, so to speak. It's going to want to take our awareness hostage. And we have to do a good job to really identify everything that's going through us. Awareness, focus, where all that's going, who's taking more of it and when and why and where it's going. And I think this job does a really, really solid, this book does a really solid job to help us navigate the different aspects of self and really get to the root of things within us, within our core. It helps you with be more present, helps you be more focused. It helps you really identify what true joy in life is, and how when you really identify everything from within, you don't rely on anything outside of you for inner peace, happiness, unhappiness, peace. Regardless of what you're going through in life, he really puts things into perspective. And I read it once, but I think I'm still not doing justice to the topic. I should read it again, because remember, the first time you're reading it, and then the second, third, fourth, fifth time, you're already internalizing and then exercising and then living it. Although I do think that the first time that I read it, I read it slow enough. It took me over a week. I read slow enough to begin to internalize it. I specifically read it slowly because I wanted to internalize it one step at a time. But as I go, what was going on in the book, I read slower and slower because I wanted to internalize every sentence and begin seeing through the eyes of the book, so to speak, about seeing through the being, which is our presence, our power of presence, the power of the soul, our highest, deepest aspect of self, which is total, infinite, infinite awareness, as I like calling it, infinite awareness. We are infinite awareness. He uses the word being and presence, or consciousness. But yeah, all in all, I love the book. It was amazing. I'd tell everyone to read it. That way they become more present. They identify with their deepest core, and they learn a lot about themselves, and they don't become hostage or captive to aspects within ourselves that are not who we are. They are just tools to express who we are. And yeah, rock and roll. Have an amazing day. And until next time, to the next book and the next book review.